for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, April the 14th, 1990. Passover weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bob Boos is the speaker of the morning. This is tape one of two tapes of the morning service. Been a joy to have the Booses with us this weekend. We have been talking about them for at least 2 years, that they need to be over here. Finally, Irma called down and invited them, and they were over in Australia or somewhere when Irma called. And when they got home, Bob called right back and said, I'll be glad to come. And this picture on the wall over here is a picture of one of the pictures. There's another one upstairs in the office of my vision that the Lord gave me of this place in color. That picture is an actual picture. It's a painting, but it was taken from an actual picture I took back in the timber back here, of where the Lord gave me the vision that I saw 7 years before we came here. And I walked into the middle of it one day, about 2 months after we'd acquired this place. We're standing in the middle of the place. But Bob isn't aware that at the same time that the Lord was dealing with us about coming here, and Irma was almost determined not to do so, we were in Beaumont, Texas, and it was at a time when there was a trial and heartache in the Boos's life, and he was down there, and somebody walked up to Irma that we had never seen, have ever seen before or since, and began to prophesy to her concerning this place and concerning the, we already had the place, didn't we? And concerning some problems that we needed to take care of here. And God gave instructions through this prophet or prophecy. I don't know that it was a prophet, just a prophecy. It gave instructions as to what we should do. And I followed those instructions, and the Lord was in it. But it was at the same time that, in fact, I don't remember that I've ever seen you since that time in Beaumont. I may have. I have, but I don't remember. But we have always been a backer of the Boos. We've always heard good things about them and about their ministry. And we've always felt the anointing of the Lord whenever we did sit under His ministry, the anointing of the Lord. So it's just been a joy to have Him come and be with us this weekend. Brother Bob, come and minister the word of the Lord to the people.
Thank you, Glenn. Well, I confess your sweethearts today. You notice this lady? She always bossing me. How far? Oh, you mean you got a short rope?
Yeah, I've got a short rope. And if you would stay on the other side, everything would be fine. But you won't stay on this side. So
you're a left-handed wife. Stay over there.
Uh-huh. I'm on his left hand.
Praise God. We love you.
Amen.
That's the love of Jesus. Something about five ministry gifts. There's just a special love for God's people when you minister to them.
Jenny, if you don't minister in love, you're in trouble. And the people are in trouble.
Praise God, praise God. Well, today is going to be smoother sledding. Praise God, praise God. This morning we're going to minister. It's sort of going to be like a workshop after we get through preaching to you. One big workshop, not a bunch of breakups. We're actually going to teach you on the area of the supernatural, the gifts of the Spirit. And I have decided that we'll speak on discerning the voice of God with gifts of the Spirit. They're both saying similar things, but going to at a different angle. I guess we'll deal with the gifts of the Spirit because it gives me a broader range to talk with you about, okay? And we're moving into this end time when it's so important to move into gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's probably why Brother Glenn was talking so much about using wisdom. Understand? Remember, I teach people how to move into gifts of the Spirit a little bit. And then I tell them to, you know, not to be prophesying over everybody they see. Now, when you're under the anointing and you're a proven ministry, you'd disobey God if you didn't prophesy to a lot of people.
Amen.
You know, individuals. After service, the anointing's so heavy sometimes I just grab people and prophesy to them all the time, you see. That's just part of the flow. But see, I happen to be under the one of the ministries, see. And but at the same time, you get in some churches, and they'll say, the pastor will say, come on up here and let Brother Booth minister to you after service. If he doesn't catch you during service, and then the next pastor will say, now, we're going to have everything here in judgments. Well, you flow with what's there. Are you there? It doesn't bother me. Whatever that person wants, we're for it.
Now, you do have to be able to judge any prophecy, just like Brother Glenn was saying. Don't swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Watch it.
Reason for all this caution is because, you know, the latter rain was a terrific movement.
It was.
Yet basically what went wrong was, well, immorality, but in some of the ministries, but what basically went wrong with what you call wildfire, like this business of leaving your mate and getting somebody else and stuff like that, and, you know, junk. So that's why you have some of these little things to try to protect that, the precious move of God to protect it. So I'll be teaching this and show you a little bit how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And you get excited, you want to go prophesy to everybody. See, that's why you was talking about this, Glenn. It gets excited, so I tell them, I don't do that. Let it be in a proven place.
And when you get home, do not go around prophesying to all your friends and neighbors.
Let's see. Invariably, the preacher's own son or kids will go out and start prophesying to everybody. Yeah, and the preacher comes back and tells me he's most excited about it. So you see, you take everything with a little balance, but basically, you kind of listen to what we're saying to you, and when you're at this camp, you obey the pastor. Okay? We love you. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, we told you the other day that Lillian and I have the German spirit. That's kind of a hard-headed spirit. And we have that Baptist background. That's worse. Now, what Irma was talking about, on the Catholics, they're taught always to, you know, they honor their pastor, the priest.
Whatever the priest says, that's gospel.
And so they're very basically tender people, gentle. They're open to the Spirit more. You take a person with a Latin background, they have a tendency, and you know, not necessarily, but tendency to be more open to the Spirit. Take a person from India. Now, that's amazing. India's got a bunch of, they have a lot of meditation. They got a bunch of junk spirits over there. But still, it's a heritage. A national heritage is open to the spirit world.
Now, they got problems. They need to get cleaned out. But nevertheless,
and you get them trained in the Holy Ghost right and know how to heal, then they become tremendous ministers. And I tell you, there's some great prophets in India. That's not a jerk nation. I mean, they got some powerful people over there. And so on and so. But today, when we talk about the gifts, then, some of you are hard-headed, some of you are sweeties, just gentle and tender.
And if you've had a nervous breakdown, you're open to the spirit world, you're open to both spirits, the good and the bad.
But you've learned to, if you've trained yourself to shut off the evil spirit, to open to the good spirit, why... You're a powerful person in the Holy Spirit. That's what she's trying to say. Don't be discouraged just because you've had a nervous breakdown. That after you come through your healing, you become a very powerful minister in the gifts of the Spirit.
But above all, work with a pastor that can help you discern which is which. That's what we're saying, like Brother Glenn was saying, try these things. Don't just swallow them hook, like line, and sinker. Try it. But that doesn't mean you have to throw it out, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You don't
want... Don't be a lone
ranger. Don't be a lone ranger. Work with somebody that can counsel with you.
So as we're dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, or the supernatural, any of it, any phase of it, let me show you how this thing works. There's so many levels of moving into the gifts of the Spirit. How many of you received the Holy Spirit without even knowing anything about it? I mean talking in tongues. Now, look at that.
Yeah, one, half a dozen.
Now, more than
these
usual
people.
Here, because this is the unusual group of people.
These people.
Now, you people, see, one of the old prophet Jimmy back there raised his hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This brother, you pastor too, brother? He raised his hand. See, a lot of you raised your hands here. That's unusual. Well, now, you're wide open to the Spirit. You couldn't. See, now, me, I begged God for the Holy Ghost 2 years. Come on, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Come on, God, don't you know I'm a Baptist trying to get the Holy Ghost? You know,
that didn't bother God in the least.
And 2 years, day and night. I don't mean once in a while. I mean, how many times did I go to bed in our bedroom and get in bed in that 2 years?
Probably half a dozen.
About six times.
He would stay in the living room. We had a big chair in there. He would sleep, or he'd stay on the floor in the church. He'd pray and sleep all night. You know how it goes.
See, now, that's a hard-headed German. Stupid. But you see, the good thing about that, the devil can't mess me up too much either. You don't get all kind of voices and all kind of junk, you see. But you have a little hard time getting into the supernatural. Now, that's the reason why I'm teaching on it. See, you take a guy that's just wide open. Whew, just wide open, like old Jimmy back here. Oh, he may not know how to teach on it. It just comes to him, see.
If you have everything handed to you on a silver platter, you don't know where it came from, you don't know how you got it, and you can't tell somebody else how to do it.
I was talking about a prophet the other day. What's his name, honey, from
Michigan?
Midland. Barclay, Mark Barclay. And he said, I'm a prophet. He said, I didn't ask for it.
God just gave it to me.
It just comes. I don't do anything to get it.
They've got a good ministry.
Now, that's a good prophet. Usually those type of ministries have a powerful word.
Amen.
See, God sets the ministries. And he just sort of sets people like that, and people like Jack. You know, he kind of sets people like that.
But the thing is that they are in the minority. They are not the general flow of people.
And then even those men are limited because the only thing they get is what comes to them in a jarring way. Boom, boom. And then they miss all these other little things that you and I can learn how to get.
We had one little Baptist preacher's wife. They were still pastoring in this Baptist church. And the Lord wanted to speak to that church. Now, she had the Holy Ghost. She spoke in tongues. And she was sitting in the back, and the Lord came on her and gave one of these roof-shattering, you know the kind of prophecy where the timbers just sort of vibrate, and she was hanging on to the bench. But afterwards, she didn't know how to yield. And she wanted to yield, so she came to us. But the Lord could
find out how to prophesy. That was Burl Bagwell. Bagwell's wife. I mean,
red-headed.
That really shook that Baptist church up.
I don't think they stayed there much longer, but.
Okay, so then there's times then when God just can't get through to you, so he'll just flat talk to you. Give your car away. Sheesh, sheesh. God can get through to you. He'll come right on in. But then, how many times has God been talking to you all during the day, just a gentle voice, and you didn't realize it was God, see? Talk to you all the time. See, you're led by the Spirit. His words are in your mouth. See, you're in constant contact with God. All of you are flowing in the gifts of the Spirit in a modified way. All the time, you old sweeties. But we want to stir it up a little bit and develop it and encourage you. So the first thing we're going to talk about is many operations of the gifts.
1 Corinthians 12:5, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord.
And there, in verse 6?
There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all.
What's that saying, honey?
Well, we do things differently. I mean, if you get half a dozen cooks making a pot of chili, every last one of them is going to taste different.
Sure tastes good, though, don't it? They have to really mess that chili up.
You might like them all. Like my little grandson loves my chili, and he doesn't like his mama's. But but every one of us do things a little bit differently because we are different individuals.
There's such a variety of the gifts. So you could run 10 men up there and teach you on the Holy Spirit, and they could all be different.
And you know, all of them be moving in the same vein of truth.
Talking at a different angle, see? A different angle. According to where they are, what they know, and all that, see. So this morning we're giving you just kind of a broad thing. And yet we're going to bring it down, show you how to yield to the gifts of the Spirit in a very simple way. And we'll kind of decide what to do, whether to call half a dozen up here and let you minister to the body. Or we just kind of let the Lord lead on how we're going to do that, see. See, you got to pay attention. We're liable to call you up.
Have you ever watched people walk, different people walk? Some sort of waddle along, and some of them just stand up like a poker. And everybody walks differently, but you get there, and that's what counts. And that's what we're trying to get you to do, is get there.
Many operations, many manifestations. Now, you all understand that. So it may come in strong. You just sit there and just open it up to it because you're open to the Spirit. Or you may just have to yield to it. And it comes in softly and gently. But it's still the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians 12 and 18. We're still dealing with the many operations.
But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him.
Also, God's still running the show, isn't he?
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice God sets them and then you have to work on them. You have to hunger after them and... You know, it's just kind of, the Word of God just kind of funny sometimes to the natural man. Amen. He says he sets them and then he tells you to dig for them. Just like whosoever will and accept you may come and accept your repent, you'll all likewise perish. And then after you get saved, you find out you'd already called, elected, and chosen. Now that's kind of the way the gifts of the Spirit are. So hang loose on it. Let's all say that. Hang loose.
Hang loose.
I want you to remember that. You don't lock into theories. Don't lock into this theory. Get the principle of what I'm saying. Don't lock into theories. See, that's what happens to the Baptist church. They got a theory. Methodist church, they got a theory. Methods. This church got a theory. Don't lock into preacher's theories. Lock into the spirit of what they're saying. The Bible tells you don't take the letter, take the spirit. So if I get up here and minister something, like I got a little... You know, I'm really locked into a doctrine, and I start presenting something, but yet it's got a lot of truth in it, but it's really not exactly the way I'm presenting it. You take the spirit of it. God wants you to have it. Forget about the legalistic part of it, and then you'll get blessed.
Amen.
These different doctrines of the end time, just forget the names of them and press into what God has and be teachable to when he opens up the door and says, this is the way it is. Oh, yeah, and you shoot right into the slot. But if you're locked into a stinking theory, no, and that's not it, God, get away. I want this one over here. So you lock God out, and so when he opens up the slot for you to slide in, you can't slide. You're done locked. So keep yourself open to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Not theories that you've been creating by your own imagination or by some preacher's imagination. All right, 12:6 of Romans.
Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith.
Well, we'll get back to that scripture later. But just remember, there are differences. There are varieties. There are different levels is what we're dealing with primarily here. We'll come back to that later.
Bob, we know that there are different levels in teaching. You know, you've got your pastoral type teaching. You've got Sunday school type teaching, and which is just on a little bit different level. They're good ministry. And you're ministering your teaching to your neighbor. It's a different level of ministry.
Come but behind in no gift. That's a good one. 1 Corinthians.
So that you come behind in no...
1 Corinthians 1:7.
No gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, what's God saying? He doesn't want you to come behind in any gift. Now that opens the thing up to that church anyway, that all the gifts should function in that Corinthian church. Now, we're going to find out later that actually, not only is that church available to have all the gifts, but you as an individual can have all the gifts. We want you to remember now, you rightly divide the words.
Amen.
We will try to keep this in balance for you. Okay. Different levels of the gifts.
Acts 2, 3 and 4. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave utterance.
Now turn to Acts 8, 14 through 17.
Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them.
Now turn to Acts 10, 44.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word.
And the Bible said they spoke in tongues. Now look at Acts 19 and 6.
And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
Now did you notice the different levels there, Lillian?
Well,
Acts 2:4, what was the level?
The level was the Holy Ghost did the whole thing.
I mean, he just fell on them. It was God's time. It was a special day. They had been fasting and praying and seeking God. They were all together one accord. I mean, a lot of things there that caused that to operate like it did. Boom! Man, the Holy Ghost come down. Great manifestation
amen.
Of the Spirit.
Amen.
Never had that again after that. Had an ornery rascal in service about a year ago. He said to I didn't see any demonstration like they had in Acts 2:4 there. No wind blowing, no tongues of fire. He said, therefore, you don't have the Holy Ghost here. I was pretty gentle with people, but I said, I don't know how stupid you can get, boy. There never was a time after that that they had that kind of a demonstration, and they still spoke in tongues, and they still had the Holy Ghost. So there was a powerful manifestation of the Spirit. We'd like to have that, wouldn't we, all the time?
Sure, we would.
A powerful shaking of the Holy Ghost. Well, then there is Acts 8, where they didn't even get the Holy Ghost when they prayed for him, until they sent Peter and John down and prayed for him. Then they got the Holy Ghost. Then they had to have some specialists come in and get those guys filled with the Holy Ghost. They were so hard-headed. Then Acts 10:44, here's a bunch that Peter's not going to pray for him because he's too stinking ornery.
He's not about to lay his hands on those Gentiles.
So God had to jump over that, and he just flat filled them while they was preaching. They started speaking in tongues right in front of old Peter. That blew old Peter's mind for sure, didn't it? So that's another level there. Well, then there's Acts 19. Paul got them straightened out in their doctrine about John and Jesus, and then he baptized them again. Then he laid his hands on them. Then they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Different levels of the gifts, even though that's the baptism, the Holy Spirit, the supernatural, all operates the same. There will be different levels, different anointings for you to operate in. So the stronger anointing will have more effectiveness, of course. A ministry up here under the anointing, generally speaking, not necessarily, but generally speaking, would have a greater anointing to break something in your life if he's operating in the fivefold ministry, but not necessarily so. You take a novice that really isn't very strong in the Lord, they can give you a revelation and nothing happens. You can take old Brother Williams, he can give you the same revelation and it busts everything up. See, the anointing breaks the yoke. So the gifts, independent of a strong anointing, see, lower levels, you can still operate. You ever know some people speak in tongues, and they don't even know if they got tongues or not, Holy Ghost or not. At such a low level. You keep encouraging, and pretty soon they break in the more. Some people just get two or three words, and they accept it, and pretty soon they're really flowing. It's just it's a matter of moving into a deeper anointing with God. Same way with all the supernatural gifts. Works all the same. Use the baptism of the Holy Spirit, your understanding of it, to show you how this whole works. Now, where are we, honey?
1 Timothy 4:14.
That's an interesting one.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all.
Now, here is a case where the presbytery, including Paul, laid their hands on Timothy and ministered something to him about the gifts of the Spirit. Well, Glenn, now this didn't work like you mentioned it up there a while ago. See, we just got everything in a word.
Yeah.
And this guy, it didn't work for him. And Paul said, hey, man, you meditate on that. You think on that. And you get that thing working. Well, you know, Timothy didn't get it working. So what happened, honey?
Well, Paul wrote him a letter and said, come on, boy, meditate on it. Do something about it. Don't neglect it. Come on. Well, I laid my hands on you. The rest of us did, too. Now get out there and start doing something with it.
She's turned preacher now. 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul said, stir up this gift that's in thee. See, you went to preaching and didn't give the scripture. It was all right, though.
Thank you.
Stir up the gift that's in you. Are you hearing me? So here's Timothy, had a supernatural word, the perfect will of God for him to operate in that area, and he's sitting there like this. See, Timothy had some of that German spirit in him. He was what I call spiritually constipated. Just blocked up, locked up. No evidence whether he ever did speak and move in the supernatural like Paul manifest for him to do or not.
He wrote him the second letter. Now, this is three times he's been ministered to. Neglect not the gift.
Now, here, God's simple, see? If you want the gifts of the Spirit to really function perfectly, get like Jesus. Wouldn't be hard at all to move in the gifts of the Spirit if you were just like Jesus. Tender, gentle, sweet, loving, wide open to the Holy Ghost, you see. What closes it up? We're like a cement block. Are you all hearing me?
Amen.
We're like a cement block. I mean, our head is in a cement mold. Now, what is this cement mold? Demonic activity. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. These demons are just like this and holding your head. Are you all out there? Otherwise, what keeps your mind? You have the mind of Christ in there. 1 Corinthians 2:16, you got the mind of Christ. What keeps my mind, your mind, from being exactly like Jesus? Got that old cement head. And you can only identify with Jesus on a certain level. You can identify on one level, you another. So depending on how much we've broken that cement block up, see? How much liberty we've got flowing there. Some of us got this much muscle activity in our spirit, see, our brain. Others were like this. Others like this. But you see, we're moving a little bit. And as we begin to break them up, then we got a little more activity. We can flow with the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost, start speaking in tongues. Didn't that break some things up for you? Started moving a little bit better, see? And then somebody gave you another truth. That broke you over here. Now, this morning, we're going to give you some truth. That's going to break you up a little bit, and you get to working like this. See, you got a little more liberty. The Christ in you is not limited. That's the reason why the Bible says you're not to know yourself after your blockhead.
After the flesh.
After the flesh. You're a new creature. As we begin to function then, we begin to break up this demonic activity. Break it away. Break it away. Break it away. You say, is that demon possession? It don't make a difference what it is. Demon oppression, possession, it's demonic activity.
Amen.
Are you all hearing me?
Amen.
And we've got to break this away. How do we do it? Truth makes you free.
Amen.
There's lots of ways to get deliverance.
Right. Amen.
You get deliverance every time you sit here.
Amen.
Truth makes you free. A lot of stuff leaves you.
Right.
Never comes back, a lot of it.
That's right.
Ho, ho, ho. But the gifts of the Spirit, you're there. And you can fellowship God like this, but then pretty soon you knock some off, boy, you fellowship him over here. You got more liberty. And then more liberty, and pretty soon the whole birthing is going to take place. And there's going to be that full manifestation of the sons of God in this earth. I'm talking about God's kids coming alive. The Spirit of God coming alive in you. Isn't that great? Forget about the doctrines. Just move into it. Doctrines can get you mad. Bless God, I don't like that. Bless God, I don't like it. Oh, shut up. Good night. Just open up and just say, hey, I like that. I'm going to head into this glory. I'm going to get this glory. Are you there?
Praise now, you, Jesus.
Mother, where are we?
We're on love and the gift.
That's where I want to emphasize. Listen to this.
1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow after love, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy.
What is God's nature?
Love.
Boy, I tell you, start hating people, you're going to get witchcraft spirits ministering through you. You're going to have nice gifts of the Spirit, all right, but they're going to be juicy right out of hell. I just don't like preachers. God set me up to straighten them out. My ministry is to straighten preachers out. Have you ever heard that? Little sweet, usually a little sweet lady. Bless her little heart. We shouldn't make fun of those little ladies because somebody hurt them.
Yeah. They've got problems.
Help. You follow me? But anyway, no, you got to be a lover. Follow after love. What did God put that there? Follow after love.
Then desire the spiritual gifts.
Then desire the gifts.
And then prophesy.
Now, isn't that amazing? He told me to follow after love, then desire the gifts. And God said he already said them. Now he tells me I got to do something about it. 1 Corinthians 12:31 is the same chapter where he said God has set the members in the body as it pleased him. That same chapter ends up by saying 12:31.
Covet earnestly the best gifts.
Covet the best ones. What's that word covet, honey?
Well, that covet is the idea of lusting after, almost.
Powerful word.
Get in there and
covet thy neighbor's new Cadillac or his pretty wife. You shall covet the gifts of the Spirit. That means just dog after them. Dog after them. Dog after them. That means the most of the body of Christ are a bunch of thick, crusty rascals locked in a cement case that needs to hound dog after God until they get this thing working in them. You are a supernatural people, Isaiah 8 and 18,
And the children that thou hast given me are for signs and for wonders.
Come on, let's say it. I'm a sign and a wonder.
I'm a sign and a wonder.
See, that's your ministry. You're a sign and a wonder. You can read that in Isaiah 8. Is it 18? 8 or 18? It's, I don't know what it is. 8. Look it up. I said it just a minute ago, didn't I? 8:18 through 20. I think that's it, honey. Love. Follow after love, desire the gifts, and then prophesy. So there's a very nice order there. Follow after love, so you determine you're going to be a lover. I'm determined to love everybody.
That was it. 8:18, Isaiah.
Isaiah 8:18 through 20. Read it all, honey. It's very interesting.
I've already closed it up.
All right, forget it. It says when they... says, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. Says, when they say, seek to those that have...
To seek unto wizards that peep and mutter.
Should
not a people seek unto their God?
Sure. Said, you shouldn't be seeking after witchcraft. That's the devil, he says. You ought to be seeking after God.
Amen.
And you go to most of these seances. You go to these New Agers. This has been the testimony. This is what I've read and heard. They're full of people from denominational churches that are disgusted and disillusioned because there was no supernatural.
People are looking for the supernatural, and if we don't give it to them, they're going to go to the other side to get it.
Now, I am very disgusted with my ministry because it doesn't have the full supernatural in it like Jesus had. And therefore, I'm ripping you off. You follow me? Preachers are ripping you off. Are y'all loving me? We love preachers. They're sweethearts. I'm one of them. But you're ripping them off, brother.
That's right.
You're going to straighten up, aren't you?
Right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Now, what do we mean by that? We mean God's people need help. And we haven't paid the price to give it to them. Now, I am talking about myself. But really, it's not all the preacher's fault. Sometimes you're just so ornery that he just can't break through for you.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. That got me out of that mess, didn't it? Praise God, praise God, praise God. All right. So, Matthew 14:14, Jesus moved with compassion when he saw the multitude. And then what did he do, honey?
He healed their sick.
Mark 1:40-41, the leper said, Lord, if you will.
Thou canst make me whole.
Jesus moved with compassion.
And he said, I will, be thou made whole. And he was.
So there's your power of love. Perfect love casts out fear. Now that's when it says, in that same area, he said, as he is, so are you. When it's talking about love. And now you and I then have Christ. And Christ is activated through a love and compassion.
Amen.
Follow after love.
Desire.
And desire the gifts. And then?
Prophesy.
So it's very important that you start saying, I'm a lover. When somebody does something that you'd like to knock their block off, you just start saying, Father, I move with compassion like Jesus. Lord, Father, I'm willing to be made willing, even though I'd like to hit him right now. And you begin to, yes, you begin to love. You begin to love by faith. Sometimes you have to love your mate by faith.
Amen.
Praise God, praise God. You understand, everything's not going to be as smooth all the time. It's awful easy to love you when you're here because you have on your
Sunday go to meeting clothes. Spirit.
Come on, keep loving me. That's the reason why it's so easy to love a minister when he's preaching to you. You've got on his preaching clothes. Da da da. There was a real popular preacher. He's still popular, but not as popular as a few years back. And this preacher was, he had his office run pretty smooth. And he had a half a dozen girls in his office, and his wife was the head of the office. She'd go in and say, where's my husband? And these girls, they was really jealous of the wife because they was wanting the husband. Boy, this carnal spirit gets in these churches. Are you there?
Yeah.
And they would see this minister in all his glory, and man, that draws them to him, and then they get all mixed up. They jump off of the spirit and start into the flesh, you see. And so this wife got fed up with these girls and said, I'm telling you, you girls, I want you to know one thing. First of all, I'm in charge of this office. And I'm the one hiring you and firing you. And you get your mind off of my husband. And if you had seen him in the bedroom, you wouldn't think so much of him. I mean, she is cooling them down real quick. So the point we're making is, get your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
And love people for what they are.
And
precious little sweethearts.
Recognize that they have mistakes, but don't forget you've got a couple yourself.
Even the mean ones have got, you know, they're still God's kids. So love is important. Now, desiring the gifts. We gave you that one already. Follow after love. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Desire the gifts.
And rather that you prophesy.
Let's say it. I desire the gifts today.
I desire the gifts today.
See, God put that in there for you to work on. I desire the gifts. Now he says,
and
follow after love, desire the gifts, and then prophesy.
I will prophesy.
Now, isn't that amazing? Back there on that scripture in Romans 12:6, I told you that we'd come back to it. Read it again.
Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy.
Now notice,
according to the portion of the
according to your
faith.
Level that you're operating on. Now notice what he said here. Prophesy according to the level you have. Some people can prophesy a whole big bunch more than others. You understand? They've just got a stronger anointing to move into it. They're more yielded to the Holy Spirit, etc., etc. But here he says, each one is to if he has the gift to prophesy, let him prophesy according to his faith. And yet here it says, you are to prophesy. The other one looked like some people get prophesy and some don't. Read it again, honey. 12:6, Romans.
Okay. Having then gifts differing according to the grace which is given thee, whether prophecy, let us prophesy.
Right. So sort of said, well, maybe you do and maybe you don't. You follow me? If you do, fine. Of course, that's what God's saying there. If you got that work and use it. See, that's all he's saying. But I'm trying to get you to think now that he's not locking you in. Well, God didn't give it to me, therefore I don't get it. See, this scripture here says, follow after love, desire the gifts, and then prophesy. What'd you say?
The next verse, covet earnestly the best gifts.
That's
12:31.
Now, it's amazing then, 1 Corinthians 14:5. Well, let's talk about that right now, right? Right here.
I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interprets,
right,
that the church may receive edifying.
Do you think Paul wanted us all to speak in tongues?
Amen.
I would that you all spake in tongues.
That says I want you to
how
talk in tongues.
How strong do you think Paul wanted them to speak in tongues? How strong was that? Real strong. Very positive. Then when he said, but I'd rather have you prophesy, how strong is that?
That's
even stronger. He said, I want every last one of you to speak in tongues, but and even stronger than that, I want you stinkers to prophesy. Why, you're backslid if you don't prophesy. You still loving me? Come on, Deboroko Jata. See, you ought to talk in tongues. Want you all to talk in tongues.
Amen.
But he said, even more powerful than that, with a greater desire, I want you to prophesy.
Hallelujah.
Greater is he that moves on in beyond tongues into prophecy.
Glory.
Because then the church receives a greater blessing. Us rotten stinkheads sitting here with a little dabble do you of Jesus. In the prophetic realm, when we ought to be moving into the supernatural. This is that generation, sweethearts. We're going to move in that prophetic anointing. And we're going to move in with wisdom. We're going to keep down some wildfire. There'll always be wildfire. Don't worry about it. It's always going to be there.
But
praise God.
One thing about it, Bob.
But the body of Christ will move into perfection. They'll handle it.
When you have a baby that you're trying to get to walk, you know good and well that kid's going to fall and bust himself. But I haven't seen a one of you yet saying, don't you dare get up off the floor until you learn how to walk.
I keep remembering what she said. You have to let the kid fall half a dozen times before he learns to walk.
You know good and well he's going to fall and bust the furniture and everything else.
So today, a bunch of you will make a bunch of mistakes, and we'll just laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Great. Did good. Fine. Making mistakes better than sitting there frozen, not doing anything. We're talking about when we're in this clinic here. Now, how do I protect myself when I'm ministering to you? I say, hey, sweetheart, if it doesn't bear witness, throw it on the shelf. And get confirmation. See, like Pastor was saying here a minute ago. Some things you should meditate a little bit on, bring them forth. Paul told Timothy, he said, take these prophecies that went on before you and meditate on them. Make them work.
But see,
so
that
you've
was...
you've got to use that angle, too.
That was three confirmations that he had.
Where's the third one?
Well, the first one and then
right.
two confirmations.
Well, you're sharp, girl. Yeah, but they all come from Paul.
Well, we don't know that the first one was... Oh, the first one went all Paul.
Now, I'm just saying he's the guy that did the writing. This girl is up here arguing with me. Okay, now you say what you're saying.
I'm saying that Paul, the first one included the presbytery. And yeah. It wasn't all Paul.
Right, the
second and third one were
they
that
were
was
all Paul.
That was Paul.
Boy, she got herself in a trap there, didn't she? She's trying to come up with three witnesses. Boy, she's got the preacher spirit now, man. Coming up with three witnesses there. Good girl, honey.
Thank you.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. All right, look at prophecy.
And 1 Corinthians 13:9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
Let's all say that. We prophesy in part. We see through a glass darkly. Come on, we see through a
glass
darkly.
Darkly.
I come up and give you a little prophecy. I start to tell you how I protect myself and protect you. I said, this is just a love word. If you don't have a witness on it, ditch it. You follow me? Don't follow after junk. I'm trying to love you. If I miss God, I did it loving you. And you've got to keep that in your mind. Don't come up, bless God, here's the word of the Lord to you. Well, now, if you're a strong veteran prophet, and you know you've watched this thing work, that's all right to just shoot them hard. You know, you look out and see somebody been in adultery, expose him. You follow me? But I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't trust my minister that far. Wouldn't that be awful if I miss it? There's some things you can miss on, but other things you can't miss on. So you can just shut your mouth.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, if you have a proven minister, that's different. Kind of hang loose on all that,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, Bob, like going back to our walking. After you get about 10 or 12 years old and you got some practice in the thing, you can get on these trampolines, start trying to do flips.
See, now, you see, I could give the Holy Spirit now and get a word for this brother here on the end. I'm not going to do it. I just want to tell you. I gave him a word. He come up later and said, now, give me some more of that. Explain a little bit more of that. Well, shoot, I don't know anymore. I gave it all to you. We just prophesy in part, very little part. Some prophets, they get more than others. Sometimes the real prophecy and the real interpretation of the prophecy is in your own mind. The Holy Spirit takes it and opens it up.
Just like the prophecy I gave Mary the other night. She took it and the Lord really gave her the better interpretation of it.
Who was that?
Mary. When I saw Jesus.
Oh, here in the service.
Uh-huh.
I thought you was off prophesying on the side. I said, boy, we have to shake you up, girl. Praise God, praise God. A man said to me one time, you prophesied to me and said it was all wrong. And he said, a man come up to me later and he said, boy, that didn't sound like you at all. He said, he missed it, didn't he? He said, no, no. He hit her right on and said, that's the most powerful word I ever had. What happened was, God would take every word and turn it around and bring it straight to him. Why? Because I was loving the man
and
ministering in the Spirit the best I could. And God just took it and opened his Spirit up and told him what the Holy Ghost was trying to say. I had the Spirit of prophecy and was Holy Spirit was trying to give it to him, but I was so stupid I couldn't let it out, see? So the Holy Spirit turned it around for the fella. And that's exactly the way it operates. And you're even, I give you a little bit, the Holy Spirit opens it up. But here's the problem there. What is the problem, honey? You have any idea?
Well, if we take it letter of the law, like somebody says it, gives it, and don't turn it over to the Lord, then we can get the wrong interpretation.
Right. But here's what I was thinking, honey. See, you really miss God, dear. You've got to have better discernment. What I was thinking, here's a person that they really, really not all that sweet. They're just ornery little rascals. And they're little devils. And so you give them a pretty good word, and they magnify that thing and blossom it all up way out of shape. Man, they take that prophecy and warp it all around, and man, they make it say something. They're a great minister, Brother Booth said so. And bless their ornery hearts. See, there's that danger. Your mind is not trained to yield to the Holy Spirit, so you yield to a flesh spirit or a witchcraft spirit, and boy, it just gets all warped. And here comes a sweetheart that's all getting warped now, getting all warped out of shape. No. See, this exhortation this brother gave you a while ago, that's God, see. Settle down with these words. Don't run wild with them, see. Take them and, oh, thank God for that, and if it comes to pass, see, I take the spirit of the prophecies. The It's been coming to me all the years. And man, Hagin gave me some prophecies a long time ago. It haven't come back, haven't come past yet. And man, I've been getting basically the same spirit of those prophecies ever since. Brother back here gave me a powerful word the other day, and it was in time. I need that, brother, and it will come to pass. You hear? Coming to pass. Getting shorter now, brother. Moving in. Moving in. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. All right. Love of the gifts, we hit that. Desire of the gifts, prophecy. We're dealing with prophecy now. 1 Corinthians 14:3.
But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort.
Well, now let's talk about that a little bit. If I get up here and prophesy a word to you and tell you how orange you've been, how mean you've been, say I was a prophet, a strong prophet, and did that, I don't know if that wouldn't feel very edifying, would it? Wouldn't feel very comforting. And yet, the long run, it would be, wouldn't it? So what we think is edifying, exhorting, and comfort may not always be so rosy. It may be, you dog, straighten up. It'll edify you in the long run. So it doesn't mean it's all smoothie stuff. Now, what you're going to be getting today will be basically smooth, because that's the way we're going to do it. You say, well, how can you control prophecy? You control everything.
The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
I want you to know that now. You can say, look, I prophesy to you here. I am not going to let anything come into my spirit about your morals or your sex life.
That's right.
Now, why? Basically, because I'm not operating on that level. Basically, probably because I shut it off years ago. Because I don't want to hurt people publicly.
But the thing is, if you start ministering in that level, it's a whole lot better if you do it in private rather than doing it in public where you get...
Now, I was in a service not too long ago and ministered generally to the whole crowd. Well, then, after service, the pastor's wife says, we've got to cast the demons out of this girl. We've been ministering to her for several weeks. Said, I want you to help us. Said, she's got problems. So... Well, that always rings a bell with me, so I said, Lord, what about her sex life? You can ask God questions just like you asked him anything else. And the Lord showed me she's homosexual, lesbian. So I told her, and the pastor's wife knew it, said, that's right. Now, the thing of it is, that helps us to minister to that girl. But for me to check on you and say, I wonder how she is sexually. Well, first of all, it's none of your business. If you do that, that's witchcraft. But see... they was there for ministry, and they needed help. Therefore, you can help. You can't sit back and say, I wonder what's wrong with our pastor. You're not going to get the right words. It's none of your business doing stuff like that. And when you get out of the line of the Spirit, what are you going to get?
Witchcraft.
Now, God could, really could, once in a while, to a great intercessor, a strong intercessor, could reveal to you what's wrong in a church. So that's something different. That wouldn't be witchcraft. Just because I said that doesn't mean everything like that is witchcraft. See, you get locked in again.
But generally speaking...
That's the spirit of what we're saying.
Generally speaking, somebody that's going to get that sort of ministry is going to be somebody who is in a position of authority to help that church from a position of authority. It's not going to be somebody in the congregation that's just sort of...
Now, I think Irma mentioned twice to you, or maybe three times, somebody, several people ministered to you two or three times in this service on a discerning of spirit, told you to pray for them. Pray for them. Well, I'm not going to deal with discerning of spirit, but I'm going to mention this here. We need to discern spirits. In the 2 Kings 6:15-17.
And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.
And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man.
And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Da, da, da.
I
tell you, there's
that.
A spirit world. There's a spirit world out here that Jesus walked in. It was just automatic. He knew everything. You know, the Pharisee never got him in a corner. I mean, it was just what they were spoke so loud. It was louder than their words.
They'd come with a sneaky question, and the spirit world was saying this is what the rascal really is, and it was wide open. See, this world, spirit world's out there. And once, see, what was that Elijah or Elisha?
That was Elisha.
What did Elijah do with that, honey?
Well, he after that, he went out, and the Lord blinded the man, the eyes, and he took him down, took care of the situation.
See, he took the whole army down, fed them, and sent them home, and they never come back to fight again.
They weren't about to come back to that town again.
Supernatural signs and wonders when you operate in discerning spirit. You know, you're sitting at the table this morning, Glenn, tell me about that, Brother Williams. Oh, that's tremendous. You know, you got this, you know, you got this. And breaks it off of you immediately. As soon as you have that discerning of spirit, the devil is disarmed. So pray for discerning of spirits. Some of you are more open to the spirit and you'll get them easier. But pray for discerning of spirits. And all of you have the discerning of spirits operating right now to a measure. Unless you're just angry at me and angry and don't like the gift of the Spirit, you're feeling a flow of the Spirit this morning. You're feeling a strong teaching spirit here this morning. Are you feeling that? It's a nice spirit. Unless you're just a rascal. See? And then you're sitting there mad. See, you got old devil discerning in you. But you see, most of you have a discerning of spirit. You can go to church and you can tell when it's really dead or not. Really, really dead. And then some of you are misunderstand a bunch of yelling and screaming for the real spirit.
That's true.
So you got to learn to discern. And then you sit there and you wonder what's wrong with you, and you're trying to love people. See, if you really love people, trying to love them, trying to be sweet, and then everything's sour, your spirit's discerning. Things is rotten here. So you just keep loving them and forgiving them and trying to find a better church. Praise God.
Don't be a troublemaker. That's
praise
a
God,
deal.
Praise God. Now, let's get down to this area. You control the gifts.
In 1 Corinthians 14:32, the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophets.
Now notice that. See what I do? I release the Holy Spirit. Paul said, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. Don't that feel good? See, what did I do? I release the spirit. I control the spirit. I talked to a little... These brethren here from the Assembly of God College, I was, no offense when I say about Assembly of God right now. I was in this meeting. We had a meeting out in West Texas, and this gal from the Assembly of God Church came in. She said, I don't like your instant religion. She's talking about instant tongues, see? And she said, I just have to get, you know, in the heat of the spirit before I can talk in tongues. And I was counseling her after service, and I said, honey, you're like an old car I used to have.
that car would do fine in warm weather, but we were living up in the mountains of New Mexico where it would get considered about 10 above every night in the wintertime. And our son would go out and take a can of kerosene and put it under the oil pan.
Warm that rascal up and finally get it up, you know, get the Holy Ghost moving again. Then it get going.
Start.
I said, you're just like that old car. I said, you have to push you to get you started, or put an oil can under you and get you hot. And so she left half mad. Next day she came back, she said, I just decided to join your instant religion. I tell you, she got stirred up. So, yeah, you control the gifts. You understand?
Yes.
Now, some people don't understand it. Some prophets don't understand it. I know a prophet lady one time stand up and said, now, it's only as the Holy Spirit moved. It's only as the Holy Spirit moved. And she'd do things that would release the Holy Spirit.
It would work the Holy
Spirit.
And
then the Holy Spirit would show her thing. She said, see? Well, I did see. I see what she was doing. She didn't see it. You hearing me? She didn't realize that she was setting the stage and getting everything prepared for the Holy Spirit to move. Little dummy. She's a sweetie, though. She's gone to glory now. Anyway.
The Lord used her mightily, in spite of everything.
Somehow, anyway. I mean, somewhere. Great ministers. God's ministers are precious, moving the gifts of the Spirit. But that doesn't mean they're smart.
Doesn't mean they're perfect.
It doesn't mean Lillian's all that smart either.
Thank you.
We're dealing with controlling the Spirit, gifts.
1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful.
See, I just thought, if I pray in an unknown tongue, then my spirit prays. But I do the prayer. De pro ko ya. Now listen, that's real. Malachi pro ki. Man, that gets a stirring down in my legs and stuff. See, that comes alive. Now, it don't always come alive, but we're under the anointing up here and makes it stronger. But still, it'll work for you right there in your pressures. All right, where are we here?
We're 1 Corinthians 14:30. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace.
Hey, you know, that's an interesting thing there, and it's a good order, but it's not the order that we think it is. He said, if any man, anything be divinely exploded in your spirit, it said, the guy that's talking is to give way to you. And we turn that around and say, shut your mouth and keep everything in order. Did y'all hear that? See if that's what that said. Read it again, honey. If anything be divinely exploded.
If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace.
Well, I assume the first one's the guy that's talking. I don't know.
The next verse, for ye all, you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted.
Well, that's the prophets there he was talking to. He said you can all prophesy. Well, again, it shows you that they have to control what goes on. Don't give it now. Wait here. Do this. Do that. You be quiet. Let him do this. See, it's not just boom and you let her go. See, you still control. See, you could stop right now and yield to the spirit of prophecy or spirit of revelation knowledge and start ministering. It's just a matter of yielding. Whoever you yield to.
His servant you become.
Now, Lillian, let's go on. Don't go farther. Let's deal with the judging of prophecy.
1 Corinthians 14:29. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge.
So this is what Glenn was talking about this morning. You keep this up before the people, and then it'd be out in the open, and let somebody judge it. Now, that might be in a prayer group situation, because Philip's daughters prophesied, and it looked like they were at home in a prayer group situation. Seemed like that to me, anyway. And, you know, Paul and those guys, they'd get together in these groups, and God would minister to them like that. But it's sort of out in the open. It's not the idea of get you off in the corner somewhere and prophesy a bunch of junk to you, and then you do a bunch of dumb things. And even though I realize that could be God, too. You understand?
There have been strong ministries. Like one strong minister went up to a man and said, buy a certain piece of property. And for 3 years he came every half a dozen times buy that piece of property. Finally the man bought it. He's a wealthy man today because of it.
1 Thessalonians 5:19-21, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesy, and prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now, Glenn, that's what you're talking about. Prove it. Prove it. Hold fast to it if it's good. If it's proved to be good. Just kind of hang it in there. See, sort of lay that in there as part of your things you have for your vision. But I don't go out here and do a bunch of dumb things about a prophecy. I don't get personal guidance for the prophecy either. With prophecy. For my own personal guidance. Very little for yours. I just try to kind of let you be led by the Spirit. I don't want to say that a prophet cannot give you a direction. Brother Glenn just gave you one there. We ministered to him. At least the Lord opened that up to him. Right? So we don't say that you don't, but I'm saying me personally, for myself, I don't use prophecy when I'm home prophesying to myself. No, I just do that for spiritual exercise. I don't do that for guidance, because man, I blow myself all away doing that. Did that once and lost a couple $1,000s. You know, I probably was right, but I didn't do it right. The thing that I was talking about, putting on an ad on television, advertising their books. And I really sought God about it and prayed about it. But you see, you cannot do that for yourself, especially because you'll project your own desires in there. And your own desires will jump in there, and then that'll be your prophecy. So therefore, you've got to be careful. See, we're opening you up now and getting you, moving you into this realm. I want to do it. And then the first thing, you want to start prophesying to yourself. And that's good. You've got to do it. That's where you train yourself. That's where you encourage yourself.
Just expect to fall flat on your face 99% of the time when you do it, though.
Or at least realize you may, put it like that. We don't want to expect it too much, honey. They'll just do it. We're going to realize we might fall on our face. And therefore, we don't get all shook up. But what I do now when I'm prophesying to myself, I usually take a scripture. And I let God show me a new truth about that scripture. Just a little nugget. And it's just so exciting what God can show you. It just like not too long ago, Lillian, we was praying over there in the first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, and James said, you're the first fruits. After talking about you've been birthed by the Word, then says you're a kind of first fruits of His creation.
And the Lord just opened something to me. He said, the first fruits are mine.
I asked her, I said, pray about the first fruits. And she said, first fruits are mine.
So we belong to Him. We are His.
And the Old Testament, see, the first fruit went to God.
And that verse had never really meant that much to me. But when you start recognizing that we are the first, as first fruits, we are His.
And when you're saved, then He said, you're kind of first fruits to me. That means you belong to me. So get your arm up here. See? See? We belong to Jesus. You're not your own. You're first fruits. You belong to Jesus. Now, that's just open that scripture up just a little bit to us. And it'll really help you to just open yourself up to the Spirit and ask God about things like that instead of trying, should I go marry this fellow or not? Listen, a girl called me and said, should I marry this fellow? I said, well, talk to me a little bit. And she said, well, I haven't seen him for a month. And I said, well, tell me something. Did you have sex with him? I mean, you got to find out what's going on in this day. Yes, I did. You haven't seen him for a month? Nope. I said, just forget him. He's out there with some other woman right now.
Well, we were down in her town 3 months later, and she came up and said, still asking the question, should I marry him? She hadn't seen him in the whole 3 months.
Now, you see, thing of it
she
is,
was stupid.
She told me the first time, she said, I still want a prophecy. I said, honey, God puts His words in my mouth. That's the best prophecy I can give you.
Yes, right.
Just wise up. Bless her little ornery heart. Then we got down there 2 months later, still hadn't seen him, still wondering if she should marry him or not. See, some of you are just dumb. None of you, but I mean some of the body of Christ is crazy. So usually a woman asks me, should I marry this guy? Well, bless your heart. If you don't know, how do you expect me to know? Praise God. Yes.
I raised a bunch of girls, and I always told my girls, I said, now, I've taught you right. And if you have to question whether it's right or wrong, for you, it's wrong.
Amen. If you have to question whether it's right or wrong, it's
so
really
that's a very
wrong.
Delicate thing. And I know a good prophet could tell you that marry such and such, but I'll tell you what, the best thing you do is let prophet Jesus tell you direct. Are you listening to me? Because, man, you got to live with that person. Praise God, praise God. In other words, use your head.
You mean I'm stuck with you?
Hush. Well, honey, we've been married 4 years.
Plus
40. You ought to be able to hang in there a little farther. Now, listen to this.
Bob, we need this one. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21. Quench not the Spirit.
I think
despise
we gave that.
Not prophesying. Prove all things.
We already
did.
Gave
okay.
That one.
I knew we
this
had to have it.
This girl is really a great preacher.
I knew we had to have it.
Now, here is a very important area. Listen to it now. Mimic your leaders. Read it, honey.
1 Corinthians 11:1.
We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit.
Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
Well, praise God. Old Paul, he followed Christ right into the supernatural. He said, now you follow me in every area but the supernatural. Is that what he said?
That's not what he said.
No, he said, I've been following Jesus and all his glory and all his anointing. Did you follow me like I followed Jesus? Did you shout or just wanting to know something?
That was shout.
All right, great.
You notice he said mimic. The Greek word is the word we get mimic from. Mimeo.
Follow, mimic, or imitate. Are you there? That's what that Greek word is there. Now, here is the area here.
Philippians.
Let's get this. Philippians 4:9.
Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you.
What do you suppose Paul did when he was down there? You know, in Corinthians, he said, I come to you with the power of God and the miracles of the Holy Spirit. And what do you think he did down there when he was down there?
Heal the sick.
You think he healed any sick?
Amen.
You think he prophesied to them?
Amen.
He moved in the supernatural. He said, now the things you saw me do, heard me teach, said you'd do it too.
The very same thing.
Did I prophesy? Did you prophesy?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the Holy Ghost had. What do you mean the Holy Ghost hadn't? You're complete in Christ, you old sweet thing.
Amen.
You didn't get a half a Holy Ghost. You got all the Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen. Praise
you didn't get a half of Jesus. You got a whole healed, well, good, well done Jesus.
Amen.
He's not half here and half there. 3:34 of John said, he whom God has sent into the world. What's the rest of it, eh? Speaks the word of the Lord.
Because God did not give him the Spirit by measure.
God did not give Jesus the Spirit by measure. You're complete in Christ, so you got a half a Holy Ghost, I guess.
Nope.
You got the whole Holy Ghost. Same one Jesus had. Now, the only problem is you got a cement head. You got to break that cement up. You've got to begin to move in new areas. See, Jesus in you has full capability.
Amen.
The full ministry that the Father gave him to do. The works I do, you'll do if you believe it. Greater, because I go to my Father.
Yes, amen.
There's a full glory to God, Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost baptized ministry, lying semi-dormant. Never one of you little rascals.
Amen.
He said, now the things you saw me do, you saw me prophesy, you prophesy. You saw me cast out devils, you cast them out. Boy, you'll learn that quicker on casting out devils than anything. Well, I tell you, Brother Glenn, you used to cast those devils out and they'd get lines that get so long. Man, they'd just wear you down to a nub. And I found out real quick, those real hard ones just put a saint on them. Get one saint on this old rascal and another saint on this one. And I'd just get them started, and then I'd come around and be 30 or 40 people come back. This saint just about have this devil wore down, or he'd be already delivered. Time I get back here. Saints, you got power in you, you little sweeties.
Amen.
You got the gifts in you. So the Bible says you're to do it.
Yes,
whatever
amen.
Whenever you see your supernatural ministry do, you do it.
Amen. Praise God.
It's very important. You go to a witchcraft, you pick up demons. You go to New Agers, you pick up demons. You go to Satanism, you pick up demons. You come to a Holy Ghost meeting, you're picking up Holy Ghost spirit.
Hallelujah.
Gifts. Man, you ought to realize you're getting good stuff. There's been a lot of good stuff in this camp. Old Jack, he's got a lot of good stuff in him. Man, that guy just gets up here and all plunk, he starts moving in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that hot stuff? Praise God, praise God. Whatever you saw me do, you do.
Amen.
This is why it's very important to get around a strong Holy Ghost man. See, Glenn Irma are powerful people. They've really, well, you guys really have developed since I saw you last.
We've been through a thing or two.
Real strong anointing in those sweethearts. Well, you old darlings, you've got going to be same after you leave this place.
Amen.
Because you picked up Holy Ghost idea.
Hallelujah.
You're getting that old blockhead, cement head. You broke away a little bit, chipped away. Now, once you get the picture, God woke me up the other morning talking to me about this area. See, we have the communion of the Spirit. You know that? Communion of the Spirit. Well, I can commune a certain area. You can commune maybe a bigger area. Somebody else may be able to commune all this area over here. A little Baptist fella don't know anything about the gifts of Spirit. He may just go like this. But he's communing with the Holy Spirit. Are you there?
Amen.
Now, as you get a little more of God, you commune a little more. Now, this morning, you ought to be able to commune a little bit more as you start flowing in this area. See, we're breaking up demon strongholds. The truth makes you free.
Yes, amen.
Praise Are you there? God. Whatever you saw me do, you do it. Honey, quit looking at that watch.
Well,
he said sometimes they don't eat dinner around here. Praise God, praise God. We're eating good stuff here.
I know we're eating good stuff
now,
here.
Minister to yourself.
In Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Now, I do a lot of that. I tell you, I do a lot of worshiping God at home. I just do a lot of singing. I'll read a scripture, and man, pretty soon I'll sing that scripture. I don't have any particular melody. I just make up my own. You know?
I'm glad you said you don't have any melody.
This woman used to be a friend. Hear me now. Lily and I'll be... We usually take an hour after we eat breakfast in the morning to pray. And I'll take scriptures as a launching pad. And I'll read a scripture. I get to start singing them sometimes. I'll sing one, then I'll sing half a dozen more. And just can't hardly quit. And we'll pray, and then we'll come back and sing some more scripture and pray. See, I mean, you gotta have a... Get this thing built up. You gotta build up a spiritual atmosphere that it's just like charging your battery. I mean, it's like that alternator on your car. You've got to run that thing once in a while. That old thing will go dead. So you've got to keep working your battery, building her up all the time. So do a lot of exercising like that, and worship and singing and meditate and getting close to God. Oh, boy, it's wonderful just to come into the presence of God. Of course, preachers have better advantages if they're not too busy. Some pastors get so busy. Brother Glenn gets so busy around here, he doesn't have time for anything. Praise God, praise God. Everybody's called to their own thing. That's
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
And you can't... You just take the spirit of what I'm telling you, because some of you have to go out and work 8 hours a day. You have to pick this up in the evening sometime or whatever. Now, let's kind of move on, because it is time to get ready to do something else. Now, we're talking about ministering yourself. Now, interpret your prayer.
1 Corinthians 14:13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret.
Now, this is very important. You try this now, and don't get all crazy about it. You pray in tongues. The Bible talks about when you pray in tongues in service, let it be by course, and then let one interpret. Speaking course, one, most by three, wasn't that what it said?
Yeah.
In course, one right after another. But when you pray in tongues, there's all kind of ways of doing it, but just pray real short, and then let the Lord just kind of speak into your spirit, and let him put words. And then you speak those words to yourself. And then pray three or four more words. And then open your mind up to the Spirit and let him speak two or three more words in there. And it'd be amazing what you can do by deliberately yielding yourself. Now, you're going to have to get in the Spirit first. Two ladies from Canada was excited when we started ministering on the gifts of the Spirit like we're doing here, only this wasn't what excited them. What excited them was that as we go along here, we're about ready to show you the application. And they got so excited about that. They said, well, we want to talk to you and tell you what that's done for us in our ministry, because we teach prophecy all the time. They said, well, we're going to apply this to our ministry now. But she said, what we do, I said, well, how do you work prophecy? I always ask prophets how they operate their prophecy. I haven't got around to Jimmy back here yet. But... praise God, praise God. They're basically all the same. Little variants, but basically all the same. Some people get words, some people get pictures. But the thing of it is, I said, how do you do this? She said, well, what we do and when we're teaching... Oh, thank you, honey. Is that chewing gum?
I don't know. Looks like it. You never know what you'll find.
I'm just kidding you. She said, it's just like Kleenex... I explain them to them just like a Kleenex box. That I pull that Kleenex out as a object lesson. And the moment I pull that Kleenex out, I expect a word from God.
And then she'll talk a little bit on that word. And then when that sort of runs out, you pull out another Kleenex.
Now, I don't go around pulling Kleenex out of a box, but in my mind, I say one, two, three. And I open myself up to the Spirit, and I expect God to speak to me.
It's just a point of contact.
It's faith. You're expecting God. God, speak to me. Come on, move it, God. Move it. Speak, speak. Hey. Dear my, he's not going to talk. He shut up so he can talk. Thank you, Father. You see, just keep waiting there. It's not going to happen either. But then, you believe that God's in the now, you put something there. Now, you may not understand that. And if you can't receive it, don't receive it.
Just put it on a shelf.
Don't worry about it. You didn't like that. See, it's all right. You don't have to eat the stuff. I don't eat everything that goes on the plate sometimes. Are you there? Take the spirit of what I'm saying. Don't sit there and get mad about it. Oh, me. Come on, little sweeties. See, you pick up a little negative yak there when you say something like, say something you don't understand. Don't block that out. Say, well, I don't understand that, but I'll think about that. Well, Glenn said something I had never understood before. I didn't get mad about it. I said, look at it some more. I'll study that some more. See, you stay open. My goodness. Don't sit there. I don't like that. Bless God. Well, that might be the Lord, knucklehead. You must not block God out. You don't have to be gullible. You go back to the Word and be honest. And keep studying. Keep yourself open. You're going to get something.
Amen.
I want to move into this last move, brethren.
Yes, glory.
Now, I'm not going to sit here arguing with God. Well, I don't believe that. Bless God. I never heard that before. Shoot, isn't that smart? You never heard it before, so you're not going to believe it, dummy. Sorry for me to call you a dummy like that. Just loving you. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Where are we, Lillian? Minister yourself. Interpret your prayer. Let's keep going because we just got to go here. Oh, hit parables a little bit.
In Matthew 13:34, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them.
Now, Joseph's parables, honey.
Now, remember when the butler and the baker were in prison with Joseph, and Joseph interpreted the butler's dream and said, in 3 days you'll be back with the king. But when they came to the baker... Remember the vision where the birds came down and ate the bread off of his head? Well, you looked at it natural. Well, just your works are going to be destroyed. Wouldn't that be what you'd interpret that? That wasn't what Joseph said. Joseph said, okay, boy, 3 days. Sorry about that.
What happened?
God gave him the vision, the interpretation.
What happened? He had the vision, and immediately Joseph was yielded to the Holy Ghost, and that, bang, it triggered the answer to him. See, all God does is give you a truth in that revelation, that vision, and then, bang, your spirit yields in the direction that's right. If you're open to God and you're full of love. If you're full of hate and you get a revelation, even if it was God, you'd twist it around and mess it up, see? So you've got to be very sweet, very gentle. See, gentleness, kindness, humility, it's all part of the gifts of the Spirit. So, I got all that now, and I get a word. And it explodes something in me. Now, Joseph had a dream of the 12 stars, honey.
And
10 stars.
11 stars.
I mean,
no,
stars.
Actually, the sun and the moon and 12 stars. Got it right. And the 11 of the stars were bowing, and the sun and the moon were bowing down to his star. And the brothers and his daddy interpreted that one. And they didn't have any trouble. Said, we're not about to bow down to you.
That's been the thing of the Bible all the way through. God gave you a parable, which is an earthly picture with a heavenly truth in it. Now, this is where the gifts operate. Why does God give you parables? It's just to hit your natural mind. The Spirit interprets it. It's just to get your attention. Now, that is parables. But sometimes, if you yield yourself, you get words. Okay? This morning, unless you've moved in the gifts of the Spirit in the past and know how to move in direct words, use parables because they're easier. Are you here?
Yes.
Use parables. Now, what's our next section there, honey? Well, we got to go eat here in a minute. I don't want to fast today.
Yielding every minute.
That's the most important area, and I'll probably stop with this section here. We've just This is more important than anything we've said so far, but everything we've said so far is very important. So
this
you use
is the cap. Back. This is the cherry on top.
Romans 6:13.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Romans 6:16.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness.
Whoever I yield to, his servant I become. I yield to the Holy Ghost, I'm his servant. I yield the devil, I'm his servant. I yield to anger, I'm his servant. I yield to love, I'm that love servant. I yield to the gifts of the Spirit. Now, let's see this a little bit more. What do I yield? This is the important area now. Your mind is sort of like a radar screen. That's not it, but it's sort of like it.
It's a lot like the monitor on a computer. You know, when you put a program in that computer, that's what's going to come up on the monitor. You put a word processor in there, you're going to get word processing. You put math in there, you're going to get math.
So whatever you plug in, what do you yield? Whatever code you give it. Whatever you yield to. God. So your natural mind then, apparently, Ephesians 4:22, put off the former conversation of the old man which is corrupt, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Spirit of your mind. So apparently there's a section in your mind that's spirit. And there's a section that's natural. See, hang loose on that. It's not much in the scripture that explains that. But the idea is, your mind right here can yield to God or natural world. Your mind. The gifts of the Spirit actually operate in your mind. See, you hear preachers say, now this is the Holy Ghost. This is operating in the Spirit. Cut the old boy's head off and he wouldn't do it. See, you operate with your mind. I yield with my mind. See, how can I yield without my mind?
Amen.
Whoever you yield to, I choose to yield to the Holy Ghost. When you yield to the Holy Ghost, you're yielding with your mind. Everybody say it, mind.
Mind.
Now, somebody, you know, just please don't do that. I love you. And then you go out and say, somebody called a preacher and said, you don't listen to that fellow. He's teaching people how to yield to the gifts of the Spirit through the natural. Well, how in the world could you do that? You go through the natural. Just like
your natural is going to have to be there.
Just like speaking in tongues. Chaperon, go day. See? My natural voice box. My natural mind said, I'm going to yield to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to talk chaperon, no, chaperon, da, da, tahaka. My natural voice. My natural will, my mind, spirit. So, the Holy Ghost and the natural dovetail and flow together. Moses, get your rod over the Red Sea and I'll open it up. Dovetail together. I talk in tongues, spirit praise. Give oh, da-ha-ha, spirit praise. All right? Natural, supernatural. I yield to the Holy Ghost with my natural. Spirit pops right up there into my little monitor.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.